Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. October 18, 2020. Life's movie script. Everything that will happen in the future is already rooted in the initial act of creation. Each unfolding desire already has a prelaid program, not a desire that is revealed, but an informational record, reshimo. These informational genes arose as a result of the spread of the worlds from the world of infinity through all spiritual degrees, Pat Sufim, worlds, and Sephirot, until they reached our world. Therefore, each desire that unfolds in us, already contains information, data, and findings about all the worlds but on a microscopic scale, just as a drop of semen contains all the information about a person who will be born and grow from it. If we knew how to decipher the data in a drop of semen, we would discover from it the whole process that a person must go through, one's entire destiny, one's whole life. From the data extracted from a drop of semen, an entire movie could be made showing what would happen to that person. One will have to realize all this in practice, in a potential form. Everything is already laid down in the reshimo, which is in a drop of semen. Every state that is revealed to us, was obliged to reveal itself. We only need to worry about being included in the ten and attracting the reforming light. Then the light will affect the ten and construct our soul, a system in which we will reveal our spiritual state. All of this already exists, both the reshimot and the light attracted by us, which will affect them. It is as if we ourselves develop this movie and live through it. The more we awaken the upper light so that it affects the group, the faster the group changes, and the entire spiritual process that I have to go through reveals. It is going to be a super fun series. All details are already coded in the reshimo. The information gene descending into our world from the world of infinity through all worlds and all states contains all the information about the path that we must go from bottom to top back to the world of infinity. The reshimo of each friend in the ten is a part of the reshimo of the entire ten. There is nothing accidental. With the help of a prayer, we attract the light to those reshimotes that are awakening in us, more and more. We are as if developing a photo under the influence of light, and each time we reveal our new form, which is more and more spiritual. This is how we discover new worlds and all kinds of changes. Now we are in the smallest egoistic reshimo, insignificant and blocked, from which nothing can be seen. We cannot even imagine how rich the spiritual world is at its very first stage. It is billions of times larger than this world in understanding, awareness, perception, and sensation. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson October 12, 2020. The Holiday of Sukkot, Joseph. Joseph is called the righteous. A righteous is the foundation of the world. It is Joseph who carries man through his egoism and establishes his connection with Pharaoh. And then, with the help of Joseph, man connects with higher properties, with Moses. Through Joseph we start to get acquainted with the upper system. Thanks to him we can unite and try to discover spiritual qualities so that we get closer to the upper force and attain the Creator. Every spiritual attribute is perceived through Joseph, through the Sephirah Yesod, through our connection. Joseph is the righteous, the foundation of the world, because only through connection, through Yesod, do we attain all other upper spiritual qualities. Joseph in our work is the most necessary and closest feeling to us, connection in a group. Through the point of oneness, we begin to recognize the quality of Joseph. The Torah tells how the brothers sold Joseph into slavery. They do not understand this property yet because they are higher than him and are not yet familiar with the quality called Joseph. They consider Joseph a younger brother and don't want him to stand out. The main thing about Joseph is that he leads us to unification. Joseph does not have his own individual qualities, he combines all other qualities in his striving for connection, and through him, to the Creator. Joseph is a common property in which all the other brothers are included and is revealed thanks to the growing desire to receive, that is, the Pharaoh. And so, from the quality of Joseph, from Yesod, comes sustenance, the force of life, and the power of attainment. The revelation of Pharaoh also occurs through Joseph. At the beginning of the slavery in Egypt, the Pharaoh was kind and it did not feel like slavery at all. On the contrary, we developed, and all this with the help of Joseph. Joseph is the beginning of the revelation of good and evil in all our lives, and therefore, he is closest to us. The quality of Joseph is realized through our connection. This is why it is called everyone, combining all the properties in himself and connecting us with the Creator through them. Attaining Joseph is attaining the connection, the essence of our connection. This is the first step that takes us out of this world and leads to the attainment of the Creator, the upper spiritual world. Joseph is like a tree that brings us all the fruits of life to us. It is the connection with the upper root from which all the good flows into the world. We eat from it, live thanks to it, reproduce, and multiply. It is the place where we connect with each other and with the Creator, that is, the place where we leave the feeling of this material world and enter the spiritual world. All this is done through the quality of Joseph, the closest degree to us. It is known that in order to move even one step forward, we need to connect in the ten. Joseph is called everyone because he combines all our properties together. Each of the ten people has their own different qualities, but if we rise above ourselves, we can be together. If we rise above our egoistic differences, each of us, above their egoism, then we become similar, equal, and can connect to fulfill each other. This is understood as one attains the Sephirah Yesod, which is called everything. When we rise above our egoism and come to faith above reason, to unity in the ten, we create a new spiritual quality that is common to all, called the Creator. It is born out of the bond between us, as it is said, as though you have made me. It turns out that by our union, we created the Creator. This is how he reveals himself to us. The first contact with the Creator, with the upper force, the upper world, occurs through the quality of Yesod. Distinguished guests, Yushpizen, who come into the Sukkah, organize the right environment for us. And Joseph is the last in this chain as if standing for Malkhut. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson October 8, 2020, Sukkot. New Life 503. Good angels, evil angels.
Hello everyone, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Rav Michael Lightman. Hello. Hello everyone. Hello Nitzamazoz. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Rav Lightman about a very interesting topic, which is using supernatural forces and spirits and, you know, all kinds of pressuring things. And Rav Lightman says, yes, such things exist, but they're not what you think they are. So let's see, how can we use these forces and make our life better? Nitza, please. So we had, on our previous show, it was a very interesting show where you started explaining a bit about the topic of magic. Topics that have to do with maybe sorcery, witchcraft, magic. And some of the people believe it, some don't, but you can't disregard it. And we want to improve our life when we want to get something to improve our health or whatever. We use religious people in order to get some kind of help from them. To become healed or get better. And we'd like to better understand this phenomenon. On the previous show, you started explaining that there is truly a great influence over the way which we operate our desires toward one another. So let's start and see. How does the wisdom of Kabbalah relate to this topic? And how, by the wisdom of Kabbalah, is it possible to operate these good positive forces in order to improve our life? First of all, were it not for the wisdom of Kabbalah, then there wouldn't have been all this magic and supernatural phenomenon. Were it not for the wisdom of Kabbalah, it wouldn't have been the way it is today. All of these desires, all of these things that we use are our mental forces. We have to understand that we are in a reciprocal connection between us, which is bad. And it's called, in general, ego. That's why our entire reciprocal system through which we're all interconnected through the system with each other, all people in the world. The system is all in all operated by our evil forces. Each one wants for himself and doesn't think about the system and doesn't think about the others at all. But he thinks that to what extent can he exploit others for his own benefit. And so we're in an egoistic nature in general. That's how it's arranged to begin with. A person is not to blame for it, but a person is to blame that he is not working with the wisdom of Kabbalah. Not working with the wisdom of Kabbalah, not operating it such that we'll turn our reciprocal network of connections from bad to good. And this is called using supernatural forces favorably. Again, what does it mean, please? That we will correct our relations from bad to good. We can't simply do it for the better, make things better. I want it so, and immediately this is how it happens. The system is outside of us. It necessitates us to be bad. In order to necessitate this system to start changing and be good between us, we have to operate there a special force, this force being called the upper force, the creator, God, or nature. Regardless, upper force, that we're doing such things that by these actions we evoke the influence of the upper light. It's called light in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Therefore it says, I have created the evil inclination. It's among you, as if among us, which exists among us. And I have created the Torah spice. What does that mean? It is a system that corrects our system. And what is that? It is the system of the forces of light. The system of the forces of light, it comes down upon our egoistic system and takes care of it, and then between us everything becomes a network of good connections. This is actually the use of the wisdom of Kabbalah and the use of the Torah. Because the essence of the whole Torah is love another as thyself, for us to reach a good connection between all of us. I have a question about it. Is there any danger in using the force and the wisdom of Kabbalah that could harm? No, never. Never? No, only for the better. Why? Because we use the force of good. If I really want to be good, then I influence the system of light, and the light influences our ego and takes care of it. If my intentions are not good, I cannot influence the system of lights because we're separated, we're different, and therefore I can't operate anything. I can operate our system which is egoistic, to make it even more egoistic. And that which I operate in the form of my ego toward everyone, toward the still nature itself, and vegetative and animate and people, where I operate the forces of my ego, the evil forces, it's called, that I am activating the evil eye. Again, please. When I activate my ego, meaning my desire towards others, that I want in favor of myself on account of others, that I want to harm someone, that I want to simply harm someone else, that's called an evil eye. Okay, I understand. So, if to try and understand that the wisdom of Kabbalah, it focuses everything into one action, either to a good action or a bad action. Wait a second, this I don't understand. We said that the wisdom of Kabbalah does only good. No, it explains that we can work either for the better or for the worse towards each other. Either an evil eye or a good eye. Okay, evil eye, we do it naturally, yes. And the strong desire of the people can cause harm to others. And I want, God forbid, for someone else to feel bad, so we're connected by the force of evil. So I operate further energy. The positive and negative force, they work at the same intensity. How to operate them, that's something else. We'll talk about this maybe some other time. Say, if someone wants for me to feel bad and someone else wants for me to feel good, what will I have as a result? It influences you. What more? Who will win? Someone thinks about me that I'll feel good. Someone, again, she's asking, like, which force is stronger? It depends on the person. It depends on the connection between you, on the situation. It depends on many factors. But it does influence the good eye and evil eye. Yes, good influence or bad influence from person to person exists because we're all interconnected. So if I understand, it's like a war between the force of your desire to the force of my desire and the force of his desire and so on. Meaning what happens with us in life is a result, is a war between the mental forces of a person, as you said. Yes, that's all there is. That's all there is. Okay. So when we speak in the wisdom of Kabbalah about angels, and the Siddur prayer book, it also speaks about angels. Yeah, good angel, bad angel. Yeah, they sing on Shabbat, these, those. Yes, these are forces that appear inside the system of connections between us. How do I identify them? What are these forces? These are the good or bad forces. Can you explain a bit? No? I don't know what else to add. Let's put it this way. Kabbalah believes that there are angels. Kabbalah doesn't believe anything. It discovers these forces. They exist in nature. Like you discover different forces, the forces of an atom, the forces of, the rain, of whatever forces exist. All in all, what we study in science are different forces. Okay, so what forces are these? An angel is called a force. There is an angel that pulls everything in the air to earth. So earth has this force that pulls whatever's in the air to pull down, to fall down upon it. You mean gravity? Yeah, gravity, that's an angel. It's a force. The mental forces you mentioned earlier are also angels, or there's something else? They're the forces in the still vegetative and animate, both corporeal and also spiritual. They're called angels. From the words Malchut, which is a special force in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Whereas the forces which are above the angels, these are the forces of the Adam, of the man, who is above the... Meaning the mental forces of a person, yes, they are above the angels. He can change everything. If it's an Adam, if he works on it, if he develops himself to be above this, say, can I arrange for myself a good angel to protect me? Yes. How? By starting to change in a good relation towards others. So you'll operate good angels to be around you. And for you, this will be as a protection shield. And how can I be in touch with these angels? These are your forces. Don't have to be in any kind of contact with them. These are your forces. It's when you build, instead of your evil forces, natural forces, meaning each one of us comes from the shattering, from the sin of the tree of knowledge. Each one of us has 613 corrupted desires, meaning only in his own favor. If a person arranges these desires as much as he can, to the extent which he can, as much as they should be better, we don't know 613 desires. We don't know our 613 egoistic desires. We can't count them. We can't, but all in all, we can start by the wisdom of Kabbalah. We have to learn how to relate to all of them in a good, nice way. And then, by that I start changing reality. What is reality? I start feeling, and what a beautiful world, like a paradise I live in. I don't have to die in order to move to heaven. It has nothing to do with my body, with my flesh. What does it have to do with to move to heaven? It has to do with, do I build this heaven for me? I can build a heaven for myself? Yes. It has to do with those good angels that I build? Yes. That all your evil, egoistic forces, you turn them into bestowal, into giving. If you take all the forces that you have and you turn them into forces of bestowal, not to harm others, to behave nicely, even not to give out to everyone, but to simply be good, neutral towards others, you already rise to the degree of heaven. And the wisdom of Kabbalah, that's called the degree of Bina, Chafetz Chesed. Don't want anything from anyone and don't want to harm anyone or anything. Meaning the first step toward heaven is not to want to harm anyone. Yes. Okay, I understand about the story with the angels, and what's more important is that I understand that the good angels, I can build them, I can create them myself for myself. Yes, because you have bad angels and you turn them into good angels. Who are my bad angels? All of your forces. Please explain. I mean that you're full of desires, thoughts, and your desires and thoughts, the more they come up in you and they change, you have to keep yourself from inverting them from bad to good. When you measure this good and bad, it's towards others? Yes, towards others. Meaning, so all the aspirations I have, that benefit, that make things better for me on account of others, those are evil angels, yes. So I have to catch them and tame them to be good angels, good forces. Yeah, but it's not something that you can do with your hands. You have to learn how to do it by the higher force. It's impossible. It's possible only in a special group, the group of angels, and by working with the light, with the higher force, that changes everything from bad to good. Okay, I have an additional question. I understood the question with the angels. What about there are demons and spirits and the wisdom of Kabbalah? What is that? It's the same. Angels come by different names. An angel is a general name, good or bad, from the word malach, from the word malchut. So they have different kinds of, kinds, levels of angels, and different ways they operate accordingly their name. Okay, I understand. These are different categories. Okay, now, when we say that there are people, or there were people in history, special people in history, that could make the spirits do things and invite angels, to me, a person that's not exactly engaged in these things, it looks like manipulating these forces, that they have the ability to influence the system. You say that there are different positive and negative forces in the system, and it says that there are people who had the ability to control the system. Today, as well, you can find a person that if you'll start listening to him, he will influence you and can bring you to different impressions from him. He can threaten you. He can scare you. In short, you're influenced by him. It's all forces. That we're inside this system of forces that we're interconnected in. Therefore, there are such people with a very powerful force that simply influences. How does it influence? Any teacher at school, how does he influence small children? He influences them. He can intimidate them. He can calm them down. He can do things. It depends on the different levels. To which extent can he psychologically do it? It's all in all psychology. Kabbalah, it's the continuity of materialistic psychology. Wait a second. Previously you told me, look, Oren, don't get in pressure. I understood that there's an entire method here and that you can switch or invert your bad forces into good, and by this you organize for yourself a heaven on earth. Yes. Okay, now I understand. Each one of us can influence his life from bad to good if he knows how to use this. Yes. Okay, now I want to ask, are there people who are not me that could somehow influence my system of good, bad angels, good forces, bad forces? Are there people that are like in network sciences, you can identify inside, everyone is in the network 7 billion, but in the network, if you map it, there are like junctions that there the influence is stronger. Power areas, yes. Yes, there are people who have much more stronger forces in the system than his or yours or hers and so on. So where is it? It comes from nature. You're born with it. Yes. Hitler, Stalin, especially identify evil forces. Are there those like that are fortune tellers in Russia? There are a few very well-known such people. The less they interest me less. Can I raise myself to a level if I'll be also the center of force inside the network? It either comes from nature or doesn't matter. Yeah, but these are people through which the higher force, the power of light, operates the process, history. They themselves, they don't operate themselves. They even feel that they're operated. They even feel that they're operated. There are such people that have no free choice, but that's how it is. They go forward the way they're operated. But you can protect yourself from any bad thing by operating the good force in you. So you build a shield around you, and the more you do good to others, the more protected you are. Can I rely on that? 100%. Meaning, doesn't matter how much bad things around me, they don't touch you, because you lift yourself to a degree of delighted and mercy, chofetz chesed, first of all. But I don't care about anything. The main thing is that I bestow onto everyone. I don't want to harm anyone. And that's it. By that, you build around yourself a fence. I just wanted to understand, what really are these special forces that exist in that wisdom, the wisdom of Kabbalah? There are no forces there. The wisdom of Kabbalah is a wisdom that explains to a person how to correctly behave in the current reality in order to reach heaven. And in the Kabbalah books, there are no special forces in the books themselves, in the cover or between the pages. No, in the book, you know. No, I don't know. There are beliefs that this book has powers. Suppose it says that the holy book of Zohar has forces. Yes, because with the help of these books, I can learn how to be holy. Holy, it means to bestow. What is holy? What does it mean? To bestow. To bestow to others, that's called holiness. What does it mean to bestow to others? To give, to hand out, to love. To cause good. Are there people that these books, you said that in the book there is something holy, the book teaches you how to be holy yourself. Asks you, what does it mean to be a holy person? So to be in love towards others, to cause good to others. Could it be that another person will come, or a few other people, they'll get together and they'll use the same books, suppose the Zohar, in order to do bad things in the world? Why am I asking? Because a few years ago, it was very popular, the Puz of the new so-called, in translation, strike of light, that come people, and I don't want to get into it, but we saw that there was this ceremony of Pulsa de Nura, people that resisted what the prime minister back then, Yitzhak Rabin, did, and they made the ceremony, and he was shot eventually. So how do you explain this? How do you explain that? If the Kabbalah comes to teach a person, or maybe probably who did it, for him it's something, he's sure he did something good, but who can say what's good? These people did not study the wisdom of Kabbalah. They did not study the wisdom of Kabbalah, that's it. First of all, Pusad Nuwa, it's something completely, I don't want to talk about it at all. It's, well, they did, so they did. No, forget the people. I mean, when you say that you can do Pusad Nuwa to someone, it's theater. Theater? Yeah, but psychologically it works. A person, a capitalist, that rules his forces, he can never cause harm to someone else. Why? Only in a way that, by that for sure, he saves. That's, I don't want to get into it. That's, these are things that don't exist in our reality. Here it's just people, and who are they and what are they? None of them are Kabbalists or anything. It's kids' play. So if I understand what you're saying, someone who's a Kabbalist will never use his forces to do bad to someone. Of course not. How could it be? He's close to the Creator. How could he cause bad to someone? Of course not. If there are people that harm And there comes a time that he could neutralize that harmful part. Then, Rav Lightman, our time is up. Summary, what do I have to know? You have to know how to be good, that this is the only way that for sure you influence everyone for the better, and through that you influence yourself for the better. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
How to withstand stress. Question: Stress is called a disease of the 21st century. According to some research, 40% of the population of Earth need help with stress, anxiety, and so on. How can a person avoid or withstand stress, anxiety, and uncertainty about the future? Answer: This usually happens when a person understands who controls him, who leads him, and to what extent he can position himself correctly with the force that develops him. Then he will not have any worries and problems. He will be completely inside the system that controls him and go along with it. Remark: But when a person expects something good, he is still under stress. My comment: He must understand what it means to expect good or bad, from whom to expect it, when, and how. One can find this out only by studying the method of controlling nature. Therefore, nothing will help here except a serious education that is given in our courses. From CAB TV's Kabbalah Express, September 1, 2020. Nonverbal communication. Question: One of the types of information transfer is nonverbal communication, gestures, facial expressions, postures, outward appearance, and so on. How much attention should be paid to the development of these skills, and how do they express connection between people? Answer: We, those who are engaged in the science of Kabbalah, in general, do not pay attention to these communication techniques because we do not see the possibility of transmitting through them information about the upper level, higher than human psychology and psyche, cognition and perception. In the science of Kabbalah, we deal only with the possibility of a person's preparation for spiritual perception. And spiritual perception can be transferred to a person only by teaching them certain skills through which they will begin to perceive spiritual influences, and with the help of certain spiritual practices, but not external, not physical, one will adapt oneself to the spiritual world. Remark: However, we perceive the main part of information through sight and only about 7% through words. Why do you think that nonverbal communication does not convey information? It is said that the success of public speaking, whether you will be heard or not, is determined by your posture and your gestures. My comment: Yes, but we are not talking about the masses. We say there is a limited number of people who really want to receive spiritual information from us, and understand that it is impossible to convey it in the ways we do in our world. Therefore, we prepare them so that they themselves will be able to perceive spiritual information from the upper world. Question: That concerns students who are developing spiritually. Are nonverbal skills important for people taking an integral education course and who just want to unite in order to live better? Answer: Yes, they are. But I do not deal with this because my profession, my knowledge, and my experience are aimed at conveying impressions of the upper world to people through all sorts of sound and sometimes graphic images so that they adjust themselves to it and start to feel it. From CAB.TV's Communication Skills, July 30, 2020. reclaiming the spiritual land of Israel. Question. Among Zionists there were many disagreements of a different nature. So in the 1920s, Nordau's plan to transfer Jews from Eastern Europe to Israel failed. In the 1930s, Jabotinsky's plan to resettle Jews was not adopted at the Zionist Congress. It got to the point that one of the leaders of the Zionist movement, Kemal Osroff, was killed as a result of ideological disagreements between the left Zionists and the revisionists. Which of these movements does Kabbalah fit better? Answer: neither of them. Kabbalah relates only to spiritual laws that descend into our world and determine its entire structure and development. Therefore, what Zionists, revisionists, socialists, communists, evangelicals, or anyone else say has nothing to do with Kabbalah. Kabbalists believe that it is necessary to begin to reclaim the land of Israel, to be worthy of this land with one's properties, the properties of bestowal, love, mutual connection, and unity. This is what they aspired to. And it is not for us to judge to what extent they could do it. To this day, we have only been concerned with explaining what the science of Kabbalah is, what it should lead a person to, what it talks about. It is difficult for people to realize that Kabbalah, the upper nature, the creator, all this is practically acquired by people's corrected desires when they strive toward each other and reveal the upper world in their unity. It is not easy. It takes a lot of time and desire for people to understand, feel, and begin to see what the science of Kabbalah is really talking about. It talks only about a person's internal changes, about a change in one's perception of reality. And all external manifestations are a consequence of this. From CabTV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, November 25, 2019. At the peak of emotions. Question: if there is a conflict, is it worth it to extinguish the surge of emotions by agreeing with the claims and leaving? Answer: no. It is necessary to try and write down all the conflicting emotions in such a way that by using them later, it will be possible to rise higher and higher toward a common solution to the conflict. Question: that is, if a person is at the peak of emotions, then it is advisable for the other side to stop the conversation and continue later? Answer: it is not this that is important, but that we clearly understand how big the disagreement between them is, whether it is one or many, and then we could solve this problem. And if people just yell at each other, then nothing can be resolved. Therefore, you need to give them a piece of paper and a pencil so that they express what they are yelling about. Let them write down their emotions. From CabTV's Management Skills, July 16, 2020.